This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
John Weeks with the snap, Tommy Townsend with the hold, and Fairbairn to give the Texans the lead. Snap, spot, kick, it's good! Fairbairn makes it, Houston in front, 22-21 with a minute 44 to go.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. That was the field goal that temporarily put your Texans up 22-21. Unfortunately, Brandon McManus answered at the death, at the last seconds of the game. He puts the Packers over. The Packers get the victory 24-22. And, of course, no negativity towards Kyeemy Fairbairn himself. Emi obviously always seems to come up when you need him for these Texans. But the plays leading into that particular field goal, I think, put us all in a place where we have to ask ourselves, do we need to question and do we have a reason to question D'Amico Ryans and this coaching staff's game management and decision-making? Because that, along with other things during the course of this game, really seemed to, you know, I don't want to say if it lost you game. I don't think it lost you the game necessarily, although I think you could probably view it like that if you so chose. But it did not help you in the course of trying to win this contest. And including there was just the frustration of not knowing if this team was playing for a field goal in a time where you knew that it was simply going to put you up 1 point there with that field goal that we heard. And that you had a lot of time. That was also the big frustration. In leading into that, you ran on first down and you ran on second down, seeming to suggest that you were trying to force Green Bay to use their three timeouts that they still had at that point, so that if they got the ball back, actually when they got the football back, that they would have to try and run clock and move quickly down the field. Except on third down, you throw an out short of the sticks to the sideline when you're trying to, ostensibly, in theory, trying to enforce to burn clock one and force the other team to use timeouts, which it really brought up a lot of questions on where's D'Amico Ryans' head when he's talking about game manager, because this isn't the first time we've had opportunity to maybe think and question some of those decisions.
Look, I don't want to get too reactionary here when it comes to D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick, because Bobby Slowick, I believe, fits this discussion as well.
Sure.
So I don't want to get too reactionary. We know they're good. We know D'Amico especially is really good at what he's built here, what he does.
On the overall, absolutely.
His decision making, you know, has been, you know, pretty much on point consistently. But if we're going to talk about like some of the issues that the Texans need to improve upon, foremost is the offensive line, and we have, and they're bad, and we'll get to that again and again this week, I'm sure. But in that moment, like, are you trying to put them away, or are you trying just to survive? You know, are you trying to just kill the clock in such a way? It's almost like you have to make a decision. Are we going to try to kill the clock and kick a field goal so they don't have a lot of time? Or are we going to try to put a touchdown, get the ball in the end zone and really put pressure on them? And I felt like the communication there was erratic, specifically to the last play you talked about, throwing short of the sticks. It's like, all right, so now you're leaving time on the clock and you're going to kick a field goal.
Right, all right. You know? And the thing that got me there is that if you, and look, it was, what, 15 yards, right? Third and 15. Mm-hmm. It wasn't going to be easy to pick that up if you were trying to go get that. But if you were trying to get that, why are you throwing short of the sticks on an out route, right? Like, I don't think that is a reasonable way of going about that necessarily. But again, that is very reactionary. Let's start this by asking, hey, D'Amico Ryans, What was the goal running the clock? Was it to run the clock and go to the field goal at the end?
Yeah, our goal is always to go score. That's our goal. Like, they did a good job of stopping us, didn't get in. So, you know, obviously we didn't pass the ball well all day, right? So it wasn't good all the way around. We ran the ball well, thought Joe did a good job of running the ball, and, you know, we needed to pass it. It was not good enough, starting with the protection. If we can't protect, and that's going to be difficult for the quarterback to make the plays.
And that was clearly, you know, a part of it. You were in a game in which you weren't stopping anyone. So that plays
on the offensive line.
Yeah. So yeah. That plays into the, you know, sort of the concept of that you're trying to do.
And I hear him on talking about, you know, the fact that, hey, man, they had not pass protected very well, especially mm-hmm. at that point in the game. Like, it was really falling apart pass protection wise.
Yeah.
He says our objective was to go score. And that's not like directly an answer there, because mm-hmm. a field goal is a score as well. It seems that he is indicating or implying rather that, you know, to go score a touchdown. And the reason why I took that away was because he mentioned the fact that they hadn't pass protected well, seeming mm-hmm. to indicate that, hey, the better of your options when it comes to pass versus run was run. You get stopped on first, you get stopped up on second. In fact, you lose yards on both of those plays. And so now you're in third and long. I don't understand. Well, I guess if you're going to score, then you decide to throw. But you've already established that you knew
yes.
that you know, trying to pass protect was not good, especially now that is multiplied. There is a force multiplier on a third and long because they know that's what you're trying to do. They can pin their ears back and they can come get you. And then again, back to what we were talking about earlier, I did not understand the particular decision there. Maybe I need to pull this up in front of me right now and see if that make, because sometimes we can you know, harp in too much on what the particular actual play that was made was mm-hmm. as opposed to maybe was that where the ball was supposed to go. But actually, you know what, let's ask D'Amico Ryans on that 3rd and 15 pass to Tank. What was happening there?
Yeah, we thought we had a completion there to Tank. He was open, just a little tight on the sideline, so I thought we had a good completion.
Okay.
So then maybe that, I don't know if that tells us definitively that that's what they were trying to go for, but that does not seem like that makes sense. Again, for all the reasons that we've already detailed, you want mm-hmm. to probably keep the clock running. If you, a completion is fine. That's not a first down if you're talking about going and scoring a touchdown, or maybe they felt like it would have been too, you know,
yeah.
a four down territory, although that doesn't make sense in the situation considering the field goal puts you up at that point. Like, I don't know if you were dealing with a fourth and short and then yeah. you go, hey, we're going to just go and try and go for it as opposed to putting yourself up in that situation. It just all kind of raised questions for me, and that's just that one. There's another situation that I'd like to bring
well, but,
up.
But that's why, you know, I don't think Bobby Slowick is off the hook, nor communication is necessarily you know, a strong suit in that game, because let's keep in mind, you just said, you know, they're pressuring you at will. You know, they're making CJ Stroud just run for his life. Wouldn't that lead to maybe trying something offensively if you are trying to go a score or touchdown with play action on first down, play action on second down, in order to sort of mitigate that and make it a little easier to complete? And then there's the whole communication thing, which CJ Stroud talked about. Does he know what you're trying to do clearly?
Yeah, let's ask him. After the game, he was asked, on that last drive when you kicked the field goal, what were you trying to do?
You know, I just try to execute every play that I can, that I get called. I really don't know the philosophy right then and there. You know, I'm, you know, trying to talk to D'Amico, but I really can't get over there. But, you know, what it seemed like, we were trying to just run out the clock and then, you know, try to kick a field goal before, you know, we ended up, you know, having to throw the ball on third down and, you know, give them the ball back with a minute and like 40 left. So, you know, I think that it was a good plan. Just got to execute better.
He kind of sounded like he was wondering about it himself.
He definitely did not seem the most assured in his stance there, and I think that ends up being an issue in and of itself, right? Mm-hmm. I understand that that's not the easiest decision, but that's kind of the nature of being a head coach in the NFL. You're going to be you're going to have difficult decisions and difficult circumstances put before you, and you're going to have to make decisions. And it didn't feel like they stood up to muster in this particular circumstance when it came to even the communication of this. And I understand that it's a one-way communication into the ear of the quarterback and all those things, but it feels like you should have a better understanding of what you're trying to accomplish in that moment.
100%.
And that did not seem clear as day. Another instance that kind of popped up, and maybe this one you say, hey, is smaller, but it would have changed what we're talking about here, which was, you remember on the Packers drive
mm-hmm.
where they throw what appears to be a lateral pass.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
even a backwards pass that is dropped, and there is a clear recovery for the Texans. Mm-hmm. D'Amico Ryans on the sideline is jumping up and down, maybe in trying to get a review. I'm not exactly sure what. But the next play ultimately is allowed to go off. And I wonder, you have three timeouts at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Why not call a timeout? Right. And now I remember, as I'm thinking about it, he might have been jumping up and down because the defense looked like there was a little bit of confusion also.
Yeah.
And so even if you were not planning on reviewing it, why not call a timeout and make sure that you're set?
The defense were confused because they ended up scoring on that play.
Yeah. They ended up scoring on that play. So it goes from what probably should have.
It should have been a timeout anyway.
Should have been a turnover for the Texans. And then you are discombobulated. You probably need to take a second to settle and make sure that your defense can stand on that last blade of grass, as he likes talking about. And then ultimately a touchdown is given up. Is that the one that's thrown over the top on the left side? Mm-hmm. And it just felt like that was another moment where it could have been a big shift. And I think the coach could have had the opportunity to do that. And I understand the communication sometimes can be a little slow. But in that moment, knowing how critical that is, why not utilize a timeout there to give yourself an opportunity, review staff an opportunity to really get a good look at it and decide if this crucial pivotal moment can possibly go your way.
And that's why I said just communication in general, not necessarily just D'Amico Ryans, but communication between the sideline and the head coach and the offensive coordinator and C.J. Stroud, communication on the sideline, communication from the booth. I mean, they came on and said, I forget who the officials, whatever analyst in the booth was.
For CBS.
But he basically said, that looked like it was a backward pass. Well,
oh, it was. I mean, you throw it from the 36, the ball hits the ground at the 37.
Yeah.
That feels like that one goes backwards, at least when you're going
and
in that particular direction.
And that speaks to the communication. And, oh, by the way, we're not, again, I want to be completely fair because, by and large, D'Amico Ryans has been nails. But there have been other instances this year.
I still remember it was Jacksonville correct? At the half where you have something similar to what happens at the end of this game. And coaches go through, and especially with as meticulous as Nick Cassero is, I imagine this organization has gone through, hey, what do we want to do in this particular situation? It just felt like it did not get executed properly. And I don't even know if this is they can't do it, but there needs to be a circling back and getting on this page because in a somewhat different way, there was points in this game where I could very distinctly point to Jeff Hafley, defensive coordinator of the Packers. I could distinctly point to Matt LaFleur, offensive play caller for the Packers, and go, oh, they are actively an attribute and an asset to helping their team win, and I can point to it. And not saying that D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick and, I guess, Matt Burke or whoever else, I always feel bad bringing Matt Burke in when we're talking about the negatives. It feels like these are the instances where D'Amico Ryans in particular and then some of the other people that we mentioned there can be that asset to winning.
Absolutely.
That has not been, it has not been there. And so I don't know exactly
especially
how you
in
get
these
to
games.
It. But it's, especially.
Great opponent, close game. You have to be a plus in every way possible. And then, you know what? And to be fair to D'Amico, because I really want to be, even though that we're parsing out some little things that could have changed this game or maybe changed, different things otherwise. Maybe he's just sitting there with confidence in his defense. Like, let's just get that 1-point lead. Let's be safe. Let's, we're not having a good day. We can't protect the quarterback. Let's get the lead, and then I have confidence in my defense.
Well, if that's the let's get the lead and have confidence in my defense, then you're making the argument for run, get the timeouts to help your defense,
yes.
and then kick the field goal.
And didn't
goal.
Do that.
Because you didn't do that either. You gave them a minute and 40 thereabouts with a timeout to move probably about 40 yards down the field to get themselves into field goal range. That is not a difficult proposition by any means.
Right.
I mean, that is two-minute offense. And we see teams do two-minute offense, and that's typically going to try and score the football all the way to the end zone. And so it just felt like there wasn't, especially in this instance, right? I know there's often a lot of time for wiggle room and decision-making. And it just felt like the decisions that they ultimately made were somehow in the middle.
Yeah.
Right? They almost didn't commit fully to a game
plan. That's exactly the word I was going to use. Like, they couldn't quite commit to one approach or another. On the one hand, hey, let's run the ball, let's kill the clock, and then you throw that out, which kills the clock, and you don't want that. Or let's try to score a touchdown. Because he said let's try to score. And again, I'm with you. It kind of felt like he was talking touchdown, but then why not do more play action on first down, which would be your best chance to try to mitigate that rush.
Yeah, so I think D'Amico Ryans is a good head coach. I think that there's still, and he's still relatively new in this. Plus, one thing I want to mention, I always think about in this, is that I don't think there's a single head coach that you can look at in the NFL that does not have their warts in some way or another, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's coaches that we look at as great. The head coach of the team that everybody views as just demonstrably the best team in the league, Kansas City Chiefs, right? Because of the dynasty that they've established. You remember when Andy Reid used to get killed on?
Mm-hmm.
Game management, right? Like yeah. that used to be a big decade. Issue for him.
Yeah, for a decade.
In fact, it shows up from time to time. Everybody has their warts, but I think that especially when you're talking about a team like the Texans where you're trying to move into this space of being a contender against the best, biggest teams, mm-hmm. the margins get real thin, and this is one of the places where you make the margins thinner if you're not on your P's and Q's.
And it just gets amplified in these types of games, and I think it got amplified yesterday even beyond that last drive that the Texans kicked the field goal, because in the second half, and I was telling you this off the air, on their final three drives, not just their, you know, their last drive, their final three drives, they ran the ball on first and second down. I want to say on first down, they ran 9 out of 11.
9 out of 10, I believe is what you said.
9 out of
10
times. Well, that's offensive coordinator. That's, we got to figure something out. We're getting killed on third down. Okay, let's try to pass the ball on first down. It's almost as if they're forgetting that they are a pass-first offense just because they can rely on Joe Mixon so much.
Well, yesterday they did not look like they had the capability of being a pass-first offense as well. But, yeah, it's a rough go of it. I want to bring this text to the fore here, Lopez. Someone texted in from the 832, D'Amico needs to focus on coaching and stop calling the defense. Do you think that factors in at all? Because it is a lot to be a primary defensive play caller and then manage all of the things in the course of a football game.
I don't know if he's doing it as much as we might. I think he has a big influence. No one will know if he's calling all the defense, some of the defense, or just sort of a sounding board for Matt Burke. Matt Burke sure does look like he's deeply involved in the defensive play calling. Like when you watch him on the sideline, you know, he is got the play sheet. He's covering his mouth. You know, is he getting that from D'Amico? I don't know. But it sure does look like he's calling the defense.
Or at least he is has some input, as you said.
But. Yeah.
Yeah, that, either way, like you need this to get better, and especially in a game like this where you were looking for any margins that possible, and you already had some things that had created great margins. You won the turnover battle by a great margin.
Yeah.
The defense had done some really good things. This was one of the places where you really hope, especially as you talk about strengths on this team. Coaching is one of those things that we typically view as a strength, and it didn't quite play out towards the end of this game in this instance. So, yeah, unfortunately, 24-22 was the score. In favor of the Packers. Still 5-2. Like, there's still a lot of places where they have a lot of room to grow. They have two losses against NFC teams. There's still a lot of positives within it. But on a Reaction Monday, it really feels like you let one get away in a situation where you absolutely, absolutely could have gotten a W. All right, you're In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into our In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions. We'll do that next on Sports Radio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
610.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
All right, I got two non-sports ones today, so I don't know if you guys have some sports ones, Texans related, but I got to get these two. One clarification, follow-up. And the other, something off my chest. First confession is this. I ended up being actually kind of proud this weekend. I wasn't mad. I wasn't hurt. Had that chili cook-off with the boys. It was like 20 teams. It was pretty sweet. It was a nice event. And one of my sons beat me.
Did he win the whole thing?
I think he was like fourth.
Okay.
That's real good.
And just ahead of me. It was really good.
What son was it?
The middle one, BG.
Okay.
Yeah, he actually beat
me. Your favorite.
And I wasn't like, he was giving me a hard time. And I wasn't like, oh, brother, rolling my eyes or whatever. Or man, I was actually kind of proud. That's good. Out of all those teams. And then the other son was behind me, so I did get to talk a little bit of trash.
There you go. Did you get to taste their very
I tasted every one. Really just like a spoonful or two, because that's a lot of teams. And there were some really good ones. Mine was a venison chili, did really well. His was a good old-fashioned homemade chili, but I think he did put something in there that was a little bit of more of an exotic meat. And Fritos, he had Fritos in his.
Okay, very good.
It was good.
So did you feel like it was the right decision by the judge?
Oh yeah, no, his was good.
Are you going to protest at all?
I mean, I thought mine was better, but I'm not going to say you were wrong for thinking his was better.
Now his middle son is his favorite son.
No, he is not.
I think that's why.
No, he is not.
Now if the oldest son would have finished
been
first,
ticked off.
Yeah.
The oldest son is the one that bakes bread for hamburgers on a Wednesday, and he's a really good cook. I mean, he's nuts.
Mm. Damn.
Now I'm hungry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to have to eat my snack after
this.
There
we go.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I like to think that I'm like a fairly, I don't know. This is going to sound real pretentious. My bad.
Yeah.
Advanced partaker in sports in a lot of ways. At least I try to be.
I can confirm.
I try to be.
That's not being braggadocious.
I mean, it is. We can acknowledge that it is.
But I can confirm.
I try to kind of appreciate
things
at a relatively high level.
Yeah.
Where all the volumes are up.
Yeah.
I've actually watched that back a little bit.
Yeah,
I watched that a little bit right now.
Psychotic.
That's when I'm really in my zone. When I'm really buzzing, I can do that. But
Saw Chelsea beat. Liverpool beat Chelsea.
I actually didn't watch that one.
Come on, man.
I haven't been on my my Premier League in the way that I should. But I try to appreciate the sports at a high level. Except I watched this boxing on Amazon Prime.
I did not.
The PBC. Tim Zhu took an L, and he was just out here not protecting himself, get hit. And you know what? Enough of the beautiful science of, you know, like boxing and seeing like, oh, good protection.
The sport of kings. Defense.
He was just out here getting Homer Simpson'd up. You remember that episode?
Homer Simpson
was just eating him.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that way more than I'd like to admit. Like, he was just out here getting pieced up. And of course, I understand CTE and all those things, right? I want to make sure that I acknowledge that. However, just watching the dude get pieced up. Still fun. Still fun. I hate to admit it, but
still
it is.
Fun.
Still fun. I feel bad. I should probably acknowledge old boy that won the boxing match.
Yeah.
But I just keep remembering.
Figure you watched it. Who won?
I ain't watching.
Yeah, no, he was busy. That's why. Otherwise, he would have watched it. Yeah. But yeah. Murtazelov, I believe, is his name. Yeah, old boy won the fight. He was just piecing Tim Zhu up. I felt bad. Except I didn't. It was enjoyable.
Yeah.
Watch this.
So you brung it up. I was a little busy on Friday and pretty much this whole damn weekend. But I had a chance to be a loophole, man. I was listening as I was moving and finishing up packing and all that stuff on Friday. And I gotta confess, I think Reggie mentioned this during his confession about offering to help me.
Yes.
I gotta confess, man. I almost tried to call you out a little bit. I was when you mentioned like, hey, if you need me for anything, let me know. I started saying, yeah, I actually do.
You should have. Yeah,
I would have.
I was just gonna do that. Just
but it would have been guilt.
No. I legitimately would, because I told you, I meant it. It just sounded like, oh yeah, no, that probably didn't sound as good. I would pulled up.
Yeah, I was about to do that just to kind of pull your string a little bit, because I usually don't ask anybody for help or nothing.
Legitimately,
like
all I went to do is I pulled up the East River 9 where the boys was broadcasting. I talked to them a little bit, and then I went and hit a bucket of balls. I'd have pulled up.
Yeah.
But I started to just do it like, yeah, you know what? I need some help moving this refrigerator in the stove. So, yeah, I definitely need some help.
Yeah.
That was one of my confessions. The other one is related. I was listening during the mixtape, which sounded kind of good.
It sounded great.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Like, but if you just want to take some days off, you can.
Yeah.
I might. I'm start doing that. But Lopez, it was the last one, and you was kind of snickering a little bit too much. I'm like, what is he?
What was that?
So it was my last topic, and I brung up the getting girls flowers more often.
Okay.
And I couldn't really hear what you were saying, but you sounded a little snarky on there.
I'm sure I did.
I'm like, what is that?
He's like, yes, but you're still not being specific.
Yeah,
enough.
So I'm like, do we have a problem with me saying I feel like that's a, I guess a thing that people don't really do as much as they should.
Yeah.
As giving their girls flat on a random Tuesday or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what is he, like, what's his issue with that? You never got to it.
Yeah.
Because y'all start getting into other stuff.
You're setting a bad precedent.
Oh, wow. That's nasty business.
You're setting a bad precedent.
That's all.
Yeah. That's all I got.
All right. Watch this. These are my confessions. So I know I shouldn't judge people on this because there's always extenuating circumstances, but 100% of the time, I judge people on this. I came across a post today, and we've all seen them. Hey, I'm moving to Dallas, I think is what she was posting. She posted, I need to unfortunately let someone have my dog. I need to give up my dog for adoption. You do not ever really need to give up I always judge people. Hey, I'm moving. Need to give up my dog can't go with me. I need to give up my dog for adoption. I know there are extenuating circumstances, and I'm probably wrong, but when I see that, I'm like, you just don't want your damn dog. You know, you are that dog's entire life. All they want to do is be with you. They don't care where. They don't care. I mean, we see homeless people that treat dogs like kings and queens, you know? And I hate when people give up their dogs after 2, 3, 4, 5 years or more. Say, I'm moving. That just tells me that you are not a good dog parent. And maybe you should, but it's just those dogs. It just makes me sick for those dogs.
I feel bad because as soon as he said they want to be with you, I'm just in the Jungle Book right now.
All they want to do is be with you.
That's all I got for you. I don't have any analysis on what you said.
I got to give up my dog.
Right. Right, I'm not a pet owner. I've never been a pet owner. That's not really my
ministry. In the Jungle Book.
But right now I'm just bouncing along with Baloo at this point, brother. You said the right words.
Yeah, I think honestly, outside of the unusual circumstances, I kind of agree with you on that, man.
Yeah.
Because the times I seen people, it wasn't nothing crazy
I'm
going on.
I'm moving to Dallas. I got to give up my dog. Your dog don't care.
To me, unless it's a situation where
the landlord might, though.
Yeah, go find find a place with a pet friendly. That's not that hard.
And also, I think if like they're moving with somebody or something like that, and it's
allergies, it's
certain situations where you could be like, all right, like I kind of understand, but some people just be tired of taking care of
exactly them. That's, or, and that's why I judge them.
Yeah, so that one I'm with you on.
Mm-hmm. Still in the Jungle Book over here.
I want to walk like you, talk like you. All right, anyways, another way that I realized I'm not a good person, sports edition, is watching WNBA finals. That's not the reason, but I understand why someone might think that. And Sabrina Ionescu pulled a 1-for-19.
I seen that, man.
Yeah.
She made one shot out of 19, and they had the audacity to interview her after the championship. And like, okay, here's the thing. I understand if you are the person that shot the 1-for-19 and they call you up, it's kind of tough, man. You kind of just got to be shameless about it. However, how do you Like, we need to put this person front and seven, center yeah. when they had an abysmal game and they were carried by other people. Like, that's nasty work, man. I'll never get behind that, man. You give me a 1-for-19. Like, I am simultaneously shameless just enough to be like, I'll be the first one to try and carry the trophy. I get it, right? But on the other side, I'm like, yo, you can't do that. Yeah, you just got carried by everybody else.
I seen that stat line, and I ain't want to judge because
I judge.
Maybe she was doing other stuff in the game.
She
that
wasn't
mattered.
That much.
But I'm like, man, that was rough. That was rough.
She really took after her.
I know she had the post game interview.
Yeah, man. Like man. The crazy thing was Holly Rowe of ESPN. She interviewed Jonquel Jones, who was the MVP. Mm-hmm. She interviewed, who else did she interview? She interviewed someone else. I think she might have interviewed Stewie, who also didn't have necessarily an incredible game, but she made mm-hmm. the free throws that took into overtime and all those things. Maybe okay. Then she was like, I'd like to shout out all these other people that did good and now talk to Sabrina and Ask. And I was like, that's nasty. Man. You could have just talked to them. Talk to the other people that won the game instead of the 1-for-19. That's crazy. She really loved Kobe, huh? She really loved Kobe. Yeah. She's like, 1-for-19 keeps you.
Man. Watch this. These are my confessions. I can't lie, man. I had secondhand embarrassment, man, looking at Stephon Diggs.
Oh.
Pre-game and that scuffle and all that stuff. That wasn't a problem, but you got to back that up, man.
Yep.
Pause. You got to back that up, man. I don't want to call him a no-show, but
23 yards.
Doing all that woofing and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And not doing anything on the field, mm-hmm. and then post game, you still kind of chirping a little bit.
That's the part that got me.
That was the part I felt a little embarrassed mm-hmm. because it's not like it was a division game where you have to see him again and you could have a bounce. That's it, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know the next time you're gonna play Green Bay or play that dude,
Alexander.
And now, man, I just felt embarrassed. I'm like,
I think you're right.
You're blaming Steph for that, though? I mean, he got 7 targets, brought down 5 of them, and it just felt like there wasn't a lot of opportunity.
What a big play, 23 yards, man.
I just think all that woofing and chirping.
Wasn't it?
He had one 17-yard play, though.
Okay. It was a good play.
My question is, do you feel like Alexander had a good game against him?
Alexander won the matchup.
Did he win the match?
He traveled with him a little bit. I don't know if it was the whole game. I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. I'll need to go back and
look. He traveled with him a little bit. He won the matchup. He got in his head early. I thought, to add on to what you said, I thought it got the Texans sort of riled up. I don't know if out of sorts is fair, but riled up where other guys were mixing it up and the Packers.
I kind of like the energy that the Texans brought. Yeah. Even CJ got out there kind of jawing mm-hmm. for a good, like, a good moment after a run. He's just out there talking to them boys.
Yeah.
I like that part of it, but you gotta ball out if you're doing all that, man.
Yeah.
And I understand, you know, if y'all both are balling out and, you know, the Texans
just a good game and you're going
just
at
so
it.
Happen to lose, like, I get that, but. Man, I'm sure he's probably bragging right now.
He
like,
is.
Man, look
he
at this.
Be.
Little boy, or whatever he called him.
Yeah. Jair Alexander, mind you, did not even talk after the game.
He
denied talking to media after a game.
Mm-hmm. Man, so I had secondhand embarrassment right there, man.
Yeah, that was tough. I don't know if I went that far, but I didn't love him, you know, in the after. Like, I'm not running from nobody. I'm like, look, I understand the point, but it just feels like it didn't fit the tone necessarily. I might be picking nits. Mm-hmm. But there you go. Here we go. You are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a Shop is John Deere reaction.
A lot of dog lovers out here.
Monday. There are a lot of dog lovers.
God bless
humans.
I will chuckle at to someone who was clearly making a joke. I want to say that up front, but said, Lopez, you're right. Well, I'm moving. I can't take my 20-year-old son with me. LOL. So
you want me to adopt your 20-year-old
that's
son?
Right, that's right. And I think Lopez's first question, can he make chili? That's exactly right.
The pressure's on.
Uh-huh. All right. Coming up next, let's see what's happening around the AFC South as it's becoming a little bit more relevant again after your Texans fall 24-22. We'll go around the AFC South, rather, next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Second and 19 from the Packer 11. Here's the snap, 4-man rush. Love in trouble, and Danielle Hunter brings him down inside the 5.
He got close on the previous play and forced Love out of the pocket, and then there he's able to get home, finally.
Yeah, big shout-out to Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson Jr., Tim Settle, all of them notching sacks in the course of this game. Good amount of pressure on Jordan Love. That led to, just the pressure that they had. led to a couple of interceptions as well, man. Like, this defensive line showed up in a big way, and the defense in general was a large part of why this game was so close and came down to the wire. 24-22 was the score in favor of the Packers, unfortunately. Texans fall to 5-2, still a very good record in the AFC and all those things. But the AFC South, that loss makes the AFC South a little bit more interesting. We had a question last week about if the Texans would be the first ones to win the division. And a win would have gone a long way in doing that. A loss now actually brings this division a lot closer as we go around the AFC South. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Sunday, this upcoming Sunday, you get to get even more interesting in division. But as we typically do on a Monday, we'll go around the AFC South, see what the rest of the division did on the given weekend. And where would you like to go? It's a choose-your-own-adventure, as always.
Yeah, I think Sunday's game all of a sudden got a lot more interesting. And really on both sides, as much as, you know, the Colts, you know, sort of are right there. You know, if they win the game, they're tied for first with the Texans. The Texans 5-2, Colts 4-3.
So I'm guessing you want to start with the Colts then?
Yeah. That said, the Colts are already wondering if they should go ahead and go with Joe Flacco in this game.
Yeah, the Colts, as you might imagine from what John has said, the Colts get a win. They moved to 4-3 after a 16-10 victory over Miami. Of course, remember Tua Tagovailoa still not playing because he is out with that concussion that he's dealing with. And so you went with Snoop Huntley. You went with Huntley, and he started the game. And eventually, during the course of this game, he actually was knocked out of the game. So a familiar face to those around here. Tim Boyle stepped out. And
I remember him.
Yeah, he ended up throwing some passes for Miami. The Colts' offense was still disjointed. Yes. In the course of this game, get this, 6-3 and outs in this game. Right, Anthony Richardson missed his first four pass attempts.
What was his total number? Was 11 for 29 or something?
I'll have to pull it back up.
It was
again
in that neighborhood. Not good. The only reason they were in the game, he had a couple of big runs.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson was 10 for 24 passing the football again under Seth Payne's favorite statistic, the 50% completion line for Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson, goodness gracious, he completed 41.7% of his passes, 129 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Did not take a sack, though, which is understandable for someone of his frame and his skill. And, yeah, he picked up 56 yards on the ground, 14 times rushing the football, which was tied for the most runs. Like, they were just like, hey, man, if you can't throw the football, we are going to use you as a de facto running back in some ways. And he picked up a big play as well, a 22-yard rush in the course of this. But, yeah, the only offense that they really found to be some level of consistent was Anthony Richardson toting that rock running the football. But, of course, the biggest thing from this game was more about the fact that they win this game and they draw themselves within one game of the division lead, of course, your Houston Texans after the Texans fall. And so that really does raise the stakes on what will be an important game, and a game that Lopez will hate for me to say is kind of a must-win game in some ways.
And I do.
Next week, because if the Colts are able to somehow, by hook and crook, get a victory over the Texans in Houston, right, they would then be tied for the lead, and they would have split the season series with the Texans, which would take that away from what would be a de facto three-game lead if the Texans win, with the two game lead and then also the tiebreak as well.
Look, it's a big game because this city will go off the rails if somehow these same problems, you know, sort of show themselves.
Correct.
And all of a sudden, you know, this division that we were going to win by week 10, you know, all of a sudden is a tie atop the standings. No, this city will go off the rails. But again, you know, if they can get things together up front, you know, you still have a lot of games beyond that. But this might be a good place to kind of transition to the next team in the AFC South, because the Colts still don't scare me at all.
Yeah, and look, I understand that Anthony Richardson has the big arm. I think that you might be in a significantly better place to deal with some of the big play situations that you were worried about. Now, maybe you look over at like D'Angelo Ross having to play still, because Kamar Lassiter, I don't know that he'll be back this week either.
Right.
Maybe you look at that and you go, hey, you know, D'Angelo Ross, some of the mistakes that you saw in the defensive backfield during the course of this game in the last few weeks, maybe that gives you pause when you have Alex Pierce, you know, running down the field and that type of thing. Michael Pittman is still somebody to be feared. I just wonder, though, like with the way that this defensive line has come on, the sacks are starting to, you know, come in, if they'll be able to apply pressure to make it so that Anthony Richardson doesn't have a great day.
No, I'm with you. I think there's a lot of things to worry about. You mentioned a couple of them right there.
And then obviously Jonathan Taylor didn't play.
Yeah, and certainly the offensive line. The secondary is still going to be perhaps without some key elements there. A lot of things to worry about. The Colts don't necessarily scare me. You know, I guess maybe because I watched this a little more, and I'm going to look at some of the other games, you know, when I get home and such. But Tank Bigsby, the Texans have had some issues with him in Jacksonville already. Mm-hmm. He had a really good game. They got things together after a couple of weeks in London. I mean, the Jaguars are only 2-5.
Yep, Jaguars 2-5. They get a win versus the Patriots, who obviously you just faced. 32-16 in London, so their residency in London has now been completed. They return stateside. Their defense was porous, though, mm-hmm. early. They allowed two long drives totaling 23 plays and 131 mm-hmm. yards. So that still exists. And then, when you face the Jaguars again, in theory, you should have Joe Mixon. That would be something that is available to you, maybe, is being able to run on them.
Yeah.
You got an efficient day if you're the Jaguars from Trevor Lawrence, who's 15-20. For 193 and a touchdown, and he had a big bomb to Brian Thomas. That's the thing that's concerning.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
Like, in terms of all right, that's a little concerning, a little scary. You got Tank Bigsby running like crazy.
Yes, he made his first start of his career in place of Travis Etienne, who was injured, and maybe that shifts the way that they view it.
Right.
They gave him the ball 26 times, and he had a single game career high of 118 yards and two touchdowns.
So, in terms of arrow pointing up, arrow pointing down, or flat, I think the Colts are still flat. I think the arrow is pointing up because of that. Brian Thomas is getting better every week.
He sure is. Yeah. You know, he's flashing that speed. Shout out to Ocho. But then also on top of that, perhaps the biggest play for the Jaguars in this was a 97-yard or maybe 96, if I remember correctly, yard punt return touchdown by Parker Washington, which is the longest punt return in Jacksonville Jaguars history and the first ever special teams touchdown in an international game. So that was interesting during the course of this. Real quick before we move on, does it concern you at all that the Jaguars were able to put up that many points, almost similar to what the Texans did against the Patriots as a common opponent?
Well, yeah, I think there's a lot of things to look at that are somewhat concerning. We mentioned some. They beat the Patriots like a drum, ultimately. Put a lot of points, put 30-plus points up on the Patriots. And they've got guys that are, you know, like I said, starting to really blossom. So I think the Texans are going to win the division. Let's not get that confused at all. But I would say the Jaguars might be a little concerning in terms of like a future opponent as opposed to the Colts.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe I think I might agree more with this 9-3-6 text that comes in. Colts don't scare me, but the Texans do in a bad way. And it is the refrain that we've heard from this Texans team time and time again is,
we beat ourselves.
There it is. I appreciate you, Fig. That's it, man. We beat ourselves. And ultimately, that's where it seems to be. But speaking of beating yourself, Gerard Mayo, who is the coach of the Patriots, who they played the Jacksonville Jaguars in London. And apparently he's not fond of what this Patriots team is looking like on the field.
Good evening or whatever time it is. look, disappointing game. Disappointing game. We came out. We started fast. What I would say is, look, we're a soft football team across the board. We talk about what makes a tough football team. That's being able to run the ball. That's being able to stop the run. And that's being able to cover kicks. And we did none of those today. They controlled the ball for most of the day. You know, their run game averaged over 4.5 yards a carry. Our run game, not sure what the average was, but it wasn't good. Look, back to the drawing board. I mean, we can't sit here and pout. We just got to put a game together.
I like the way he'd put
that. Good evening, or whatever time it is.
That's right. And just to help you out, 2.5, Coach. 2.5 yards per carry on that. So, yeah, he doesn't feel like he's in a good way.
Yeah, no, he wasn't.
That got a sting as a player. Coach calling us soft?
Soft. But S-A-W-F-T, soft.
Yes, exactly that. No, I actually admire that he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he sounds a little familiar coaching-wise, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Sounds like he's willing to light a fire in them cats. All right, they're not in the AFC South. You know who else is in the AFC South? It's the Tennessee Titans. They get a loss against the Buffalo Bills, another former opponent of the Texans. 1-5 is where the Tennessee Titans were after the 34-10 loss in Buffalo. Mason Rudolph started at quarterback, and he actually provided a steadier hand, at least when you talk about first half. 25 of 40, 215 yards, and a touchdown, but also an interception. So, you know, Titans found a little bit of steadiness, but I think that's, you know, relatively high floor, low ceiling type player.
That's about the best you can expect right there. And then the Bills got rolling, and that was pretty much that.
And I think the thing that also is kind of air out of the bubble for the Titans, at least for me on the outside looking in, entering the game, the Titans defense had allowed the fewest yards per game in the NFL. Well, in this game,
not so much.
Bills had 389 of them things, man. Yeah. A whole bunch of yards of offense, 34 points, and then Josh Allen himself continued to find his resurgence. I believe this is his first 300-yard passing game. 21 of 33 for 323 and two touchdowns. So they're not in a good way. They'll play Detroit on the road on Sunday. I forgot to mention the Jaguars are getting Green Bay at home. So they get to see this team that you just saw. Good luck, Jaguars. Yeah. That might be 2-6. Actually, probably will be 2-6.
And the Titans going to Detroit.
Yeah. See, again, the backside of the division probably picking up L's, which, again, points to why – in some ways, it's even more important to make sure you handle the Colts next week, Texans, at NRG Stadium here in Houston.
I totally agree.
So there you go. That's around the AFC South in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, setting up a must win.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's going to be so fun. You know, my Lopez, it's going to be a blast. But yeah, shout out to the AFC South. Coming up next, let's go and talk about this. Why isn't this pass game clicking in the way that we had hoped? We'll talk about that and more about your Texans next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.